This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on Wednesday, the 26th of August. My name is Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me today,
Frida Liu.
And we have a really, well, jam-packed show for you. We're going to be talking about toxic optimism. We're also going to be telling you how to say no and, I guess, be better for it in the workplace. Yeah. And finally, how KFC is moving from finger-licking good to just... it's good.
Okay.
Yeah. So all that is coming up, plus some Billy Joel. We've got Duffy and The Clash. But of course, our top story of the day, has the pandemic affected your views on positivity? Get in touch with us, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio, on Twitter and on Instagram. Now, you've heard people say things like, keep your chin up, or find the silver lining, or, you know, just think positive, right? And I guess for some people, it's proven to be helpful in times of trouble. But as the world struggles through COVID-19, these methods of finding positivity can feel a little out of touch or even forced to some people, leading to the issue of toxic optimism. Now, it's been known for decades that optimists are happier and more resilient than pessimists. However, optimism and positive thinking aren't a cure-all and can be downright toxic when they're harnessed to deny reality or used to bludgeon other people, right? So what is toxic optimism? Well, according to this article on Inc.com, it can take two forms. Number one, denialism. And number two, well, I really can't say this word on air, but happy horse beep, if you know what I mean. But let's just call it happy nonsense, okay, for the sake of discussion. So denialism, the first one, consists of pretending that the world is as you wish it were and then behaving as if your wishful world is actually real. So another way to say this is fake it till you make it. Or for a visual representation, you know there's that famous meme of a dog sitting in a room on fire and it's casually saying, this is fine, right? So, you know, that's just an example of denialism.
Okay, so, you know, I was reading, I just want to continue with this, but Simon Sinek has his version, right? And he talks, there is a difference between positivity and optimism.
Right.
So in his context, which is different from this Inc.com article, is that optimism is not the denial of reality. Right. Okay. So you're still, I guess, hopeful. He goes on and on about it. But I guess like in the business world, when we look at it, right, where are we, you know, like blinkers, right? We've got blinkers on, right? So you're like a friend who insists, okay, this pyramid scheme, you're going to be the first in place and then guaranteed to turn you into a millionaire overnight, right? I mean, we like to believe these things, right, without checking. Kodak. Right. Another story, filing for bankruptcy when it missed the boat on how customers want to interact with photos.
Digital photos.
And they actually came up with it. They were the ones who came up with digital photos.
And they didn't follow through.
And so like even when I think about Nokia, right, for they were 40% market share and period of 2-3 years disappeared. Right.
Denialism.
So these are the things that you don't want to see, like putting our head in the sand, so to speak, and thinking that it's not going to happen to us. We're number one, you know, that kind of thing. Right. So and of course, the recent one with Ellen DeGeneres, right? Her show. Right. You know, and that has been uncovered recently. So that image of her being so positive, and that's not a reflection in the workplace. Right. So that's the recent mishap. Right.
Yeah. So just because you don't acknowledge an issue doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Right. So that's another form of denialism. So the second type of toxic optimism other than denialism is happy nonsense. That's what we're calling it, which is when optimists force their positivity with, regardless if it's valid or otherwise, on people who just aren't feeling it. So, for example, when you know how if sometimes someone suffers a miscarriage, you know, it's never okay to say, well, you can always try again, you know, because
Shut up.
MO. While it's realistically optimistic, it's hurtful to hear something like that.
And sometimes, you know, silence is golden. And maybe people want to talk or not, but just, you know, a hug or don't say anything, right? Even if you've been through it, is people take it differently, right? So like in business, happy nonsense, we're going to refer to that term, manifest and demands employees smile and exhibit a positive attitude, right? Pretend nothing is going on. So this not only makes a person miserable, but also results in messenger shooting, which essentially ensures the dog, i.e. the manager, never figures out that a house is burning. So
the coming demand, back to that meme, yeah.
Yeah, coming back to me. And I think, like, when I always talk about this, the emperor's new clothes, right? So I don't want to face reality. So, and everyone around you will say wonderful things, right? And then you also don't want to know because everybody says it's a fantastic thing, lah. So it's, right. You know, there's that, right?
So we've been talking about toxic optimism. What's the cure for this? And basically, the cure for toxic optimism isn't pessimism, which tends to actually make things worse. The true cure is healthy optimism, which is best expressed as a three-step process. So number one, see things as they really are, which is A. And number two, envision something better. And number three, do what you can to move from A to B. So do what you can to move from seeing things as they really are and envisioning something better. So looking at the world through these three steps is incredibly optimistic, but never devolves into denialism or happy nonsense, because healthy optimism both starts and ends with a reality check. You know, it's very important. And it focuses on what you can actually change to make things better.
When I look at that three-step process, right, a lot of people miss out on step three. Right? I mean, okay.
That transition,
so
right?
That transition or the action and the execution, right? So the positivity is everything's going to be all right. It's going to be another day tomorrow, which is good to have that attitude, right? But you've got to act towards, like, okay, what can be better? What do I need to do, right? Yeah. And that kind of optimism is okay with action steps to take things to a better level.
Right. Well, join the conversation. Now, tell us, has the pandemic affected your views on positivity? We've got a poll going on Twitter and on Instagram. There's plenty of time to get in on that. At BFM Radio is our handle. Or you can also send us your messages via Twitter, via Instagram, or via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. For now, here's The Clash with I Fought the Law. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
We're back. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. And on the show today, we are talking about toxic positivity. You know, has the pandemic affected your views on positivity? Has it made you more optimistic, more pessimistic? And, you know, have you experienced instances of toxic positivity? Get in touch with us, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. We'll come back to some of your messages. But first, we have Rashmi Menon on the line, and she's the head of client engagement at Leadernomics, and she's going to take a few questions that we have regarding the idea of toxic optimism. Rashmi, now, do you have any advice on confronting or avoiding the first part of toxic positivity, which is denialism?
To be honest, in the short term, denial may not necessarily be a bad thing. It gives your mind the space and the ability to process something that's shocking or distressing or scary to you. And it's a coping mechanism in a sense. However, in the long run, denial can be potentially harmful. You could be in denial about a serious health issue. You could be in denial about an accounting error you made at work, which could cost your company millions in losses. So how do we deal with denial? I think in the work-related space, I would say that a step-by-step approach makes the most sense. First of all, you start out with listing what's the issue, you know, understanding the issue in detail, understanding the concerns, the fears in detail. You list down every single thing that worries you, list down all of the possible negative consequences of what you're worrying about. Once you've done that, whether it's for yourself or it's for a friend or a colleague, and, you know, you need to speak to them and say, you know what, I understand what's going on, I understand what you're going through, but these are the consequences of not dealing with this problem. And this is the list of things. So help that person break it down into smaller pieces. Everything looks simpler when you break down a big problem into smaller actionable items. And once you've done that, once you have your action steps in place, I think it really helps that person to understand that this is not as big as they thought it was, or even if it is, there are actions that can be taken. And I think that would be one way to help people deal with denial, to help them see the way out of the situation they're in.
Rashmi, how do you think happy nonsense manifests in the workplace?
Let's face it, we all like optimistic people. They bring a positive energy to the space around them. They help keep spirits up. They're the ones who cheer you on against impossible odds. But sometimes, and this can be especially true in the workplace, too much of optimism can be a bad thing. These are typically the co-workers, you know, who just believe that you know, they're better at it than anyone else and can do it faster than anyone else. Or they think that everything's easy. Oh, this is so easy, I could just do it in no time at all. They sometimes confuse their positive thinking with having a magic wand, which would just miraculously make projects happen. Or, worst of all, they assume that things will always go according to plan. And let's face it, we all know that never happens, or rarely does. I think happy nonsense is there for a reason. People use platitudes when they don't know what to say. Your friend suffers a major loss, and your immediate response is to tell them, stay strong, things will get better, time will heal everything. But will it really? That loss is never going away, no matter what. The pain may dull with time, you may be able to lead your day-to-day life without crying, but that pain always remains a part of you. And I think it's important that you acknowledge that reality and don't give false hope or platitudes. So, we know that there needs to be a delicate balance between having a positive mindset and being overly optimistic. So, how do you deal with over-optimistic coworkers? First of all, and this is important, be grateful for their optimism. Acknowledging their support shows that you appreciate their help and you don't take them for granted. Step two, get their help with the brainstorming process. Optimistic people usually have some great ideas. Brainstorm with them, work with them, and come up with ideas that would really work for your project. But then comes the even more important step, and that's where you actually look upon working on a realistic plan of action. And by realistic plan of action means you break down the details, you look at every step that needs to be taken, and you work out the work done, work needed in terms of people, time, and resources. And once you've really got the details down, it helps the optimistic person also understand what is really needed. And this is especially important if your boss is the overly optimistic person. So whenever you present the facts, remember, present them in a neutral way. You don't want to appear as though you're shooting down their ideas or their solutions.
So how do we stray away from spouting happy nonsense in favor of actual consolations or advice?
My first rule for myself is, when in doubt, don't say anything. If you're close enough to the person you're consoling, give them a hug instead. A strong hug can convey far more than any number of words. What else can you do? Be there for the person suffering. Sometimes silent companionship can do much more than hours of conversation. Which doesn't mean that if they want to talk, you don't listen to them. But that's what you need to do. Listen to them. What else can you do? Try to make their day-to-day life easier. When you're coping with loss, even the littlest of tasks can seem gigantic and like a mountain. So do small chores for them. Help them buy their groceries. Cook a meal for them. Take their kids to school. And finally, when the person is ready for it, you could also help them with practical advice. Coping with emotions, loss, grief is a very personal thing. And what worked for you or for your relatives may not work for someone else. Right. So it's better that whatever advice you're giving, keep it to practical things. And last of all, please, please don't give them examples of other people who have suffered even bigger losses or issues. Each person's challenges, losses are unique to them. And by quoting examples of those who have, quote unquote, suffered more, you're diminishing what they feel or are going through. So please don't do that.
So Rashmi, have your ideas about optimism or positivity changed throughout the MCO? You know, if so, how? And if not, you know, why do you think that is?
I think there are a lot of things that make me optimistic. The fact that people realize that they can lead much simpler lives and still be happy. I mean, the fact that I know that I don't need that next new gadget or I don't need that next pair of shoes. And having those don't really add to my happiness. What adds to my happiness is the fact that my family is with me. We're all under the same roof. We're all doing fine. So I think those things make me optimistic. When I look around the world and I look at all the frontline workers, people who put their lives on the line every single day to treat people with COVID or to, you know, work in stressful environments, stressful conditions. They didn't ask for this, but they still step in and they're still doing this. I think it makes me very, very optimistic and very hopeful for humanity. Of course, there are people who balance that out by being completely selfish, but I think on the whole, I really do believe that the goodness in us, the innate need to help our fellow human beings is something that has really come through strongly during this pandemic. I do worry quite a bit about the global economy. We live in a very connected world, so how is this going to have a long-term impact on people around us and our own Malaysian economy? I can't predict, but I'm hopeful that you know, we see recovery happening, we see economies coming back online, and I hope that that will continue and that world leaders will continue to make it happen. I think what makes me really happy is the impact on the environment that this whole MCO or lockdown around the globe has had. Skies have cleared up miraculously across so many countries. You can see the difference when you look at space pictures or satellite pictures of the Earth, and you can see how much clearer skies are over some of the most polluted cities in the world.
Yeah, that's so true. Keeping it real, that was Rashmi Menon, Head of Client Engagement at Leadernomics. Now,
yeah, so I was listening to her and then, like, you know, I relate to a lot of things she said. And one of which is, I guess, like, you know, give people the space to go through that feeling, right?
Yeah.
To go through that whatever it is, right? Invalidate whatever they're expressing, because it's different for different people, right? I always say that I know that when I'm angry or upset about something and I'm like, okay, if I say just grieve, I've got to go through this. If I'm angry, let me go through that anger, right? Positively go into a room, whatever. But actually, this is how I'm feeling and it's okay, right?
Yeah.
And then what do I need to do next? But if it takes you a while and you're still in anger, admit it, right?
Mm.
It's when you keep it inside, that's when things, you know, happen, right?
I think it was Richard Templer who said in his book, Rules of People, Rules for People, I can't remember. But he said about how, you know, how sometimes you have a problem and you talk to a friend about it and then they start giving you solutions. And then you start getting a bit upset. Like, you know, you're annoyed. Why is this person giving me this? It's like, this is not the solution to my problem, right?
Right.
But basically, sometimes people just want to be heard and they want their feelings validated. You don't really have to tell them, oh, don't worry, it's going to be okay. Or maybe you can do this, and give them like endless options. They just want you to make them know that it's okay for them to feel the way they do, right? And he gives like a bit of a scenario. He says, like, just say your friend is caught in a swamp. They don't want you to fish them out. They want you to get in the swamp with them and tell them, like, it's our, you know, like, I'm here with you. And that's all they need. They just need you to validate their feelings. And that's it. You do not have to give them solutions or like, toxic positive advice.
Yeah. So I've had, like, some friends that I'm very comfortable with. And I say, okay, is it advice or you just want to talk? Right. So sometimes they do want advice, and sometimes it's just like, no, I just want to vent.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I won't say anything.
Right. Join the conversation. Tell us, you know, has the pandemic affected your views on positivity? We've got a poll going on. Shall we do a quick recap of the poll, Frida?
Yes. No, not so good, lah. Okay. So how has the pandemic affected your views on positivity? More optimistic, 22%. More pessimistic, 43.6%. No change for 30%. That's good, I guess.
Over on Instagram, we have 62% who say they are more pessimistic now, and as opposed to 38% who say they are more optimistic. We'll come back with more of your messages and your thoughts on toxic positivity. But for now, here's Billy Joel with You May Be Right, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.